I want to draw your attention this morning to Philippians chapter 3 and verses 13 and 14. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 13 and 14. Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Aiming for the prize is our subject this morning. Aiming for the prize. You will notice the text refers to a prize. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul says he's aiming for a great prize. It is a great prize. He sometimes referred to this in other places in his writings. You remember how he said to the Corinthians, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize." And he says, "So run that ye may obtain the prize." So aiming for the prize. And whenever Paul says about aiming for the prize here, pressing, reaching forth onto those things which are before, whenever he says these things, he has a picture in his mind. And you always have to see the picture before you can really understand the theology. And he's a picture in his mind here when he talks about pressing forward and leaning forward and aiming and not looking back. He has a picture. Of course, it's a sporting picture. And remember that Philippi is in Greece. And in Paul's day, Greece was, of course, part of the Roman Empire. And Greece and Rome, they both love sports. And they both made great spectacular events around sports. You remember, of course, that the Olympic Games, we have the Olympic Games, and it all comes from that era, the Olympic Games. And so they had great, big, large sports stadiums thousands of years ago. Not that Paul went to sports stadiums. I don't think he went to sports stadiums. He was far too busy in the Christian race to worry about sports stadiums, and as a Jew it would pose some difficulties for him as well. But nevertheless, he knew about things, and he knew Gentiles who were involved in sports, and he knew about the races, and he would sometimes use pictures and illustrations from the sporting world, which meant so much to the Gentile world at that time. And probably the oldest spectacular sport in Rome was chariot racing. Chariot racing is very ancient, and it goes way back centuries, hundreds of years, even before Christ. And of course, in Rome, there was a famous racing circuit called the Circus Maximus, and it could contain 150,000 people seated. And so you can imagine they really were into their sports whenever they had such a stadium. And that was only one of very many. And that's what I think Paul has in mind. Certainly in this text, he has the racing chariots, the chariot racing in mind. Maybe you've read Ben-Hur. Ben-Hur was a charioteer. And it's a fiction story, but it's sort of based around this era. And Ben-Hur is famous for a great chariot race that takes place in the fictional novel. Now, you know what a chariot is. A chariot, of course, is a light cart with two wheels built for speed. It's not heavy. It's built for speed. And no seats or anything like that. You stand on it. And it's driven by horses. And usually, in the races, there would be four horses. And They were pulled by the four horses, and there'd be a reins to each horse, and they would skillfully be tied around the charioteer's waist, and by his skill of manipulating and moving his body, he would be able to guide and direct the horses at great speed. And so I think that's what he has in mind here, the charioteer and the horse racing and the chariot racing at that time. Now, many of the charioteers started off their careers as slaves, but if they were successful, they won their freedom, they obtained their freedom, and also great prizes as well, and they become famous, so on and so forth. But to be a great charioteer, you had to be diligent. You had to work very hard. You had to be earnest. You had to be consistent. You had to have determination. You had to keep going, and you had to put your all into it. That's the kind of mentality you had to have. Now, Paul, as I said, wasn't a sports charioteer, and he wasn't racing to please the crowds, and he wasn't racing to obtain his freedom or anything like that. He wasn't racing to become famous among the peoples of Rome or the Gentile nations. Paul wasn't interested in that. He said every man strives for the mastery to obtain a corruptible crown, but he says, I do it to obtain an incorruptible crown. So he wasn't interested in chariot racing, literally, but he was interested in racing for the Lord and obtaining the prize and getting the crown. And he tells us what the prize is there in verse 14. The prize of the high, it's a high prize, it's a glorious prize, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And every Christian should be aiming for that, for a high and glorious, blessed calling and a great crown to cast it at Christ's feet. So I don't want you to think Paul was racing to get saved. That's not the prize. The prize isn't salvation. He's not racing to get saved. He was saved. That's very important that we understand that. He's not hoping to get salvation at the end of the day and get finally saved. That's not what he's talking about. He is saved. He's a Christian. He doesn't say, I press on that I might become a Christian. He doesn't say, I press on that I might at last be sure of heaven. He doesn't race to be saved. You have to be a Christian to be in the race. You're not even racing at all if you're not saved. Salvation, if you like, is a chariot. And Christians are in it. They're in it. There's a day we got saved. And the day we got saved was the day we got into the chariot. That has a great aim and a great end. This praise. So the day we got saved was the day we got into the chariot. We got into the race. We joined the Christian race when we took Christ. We joined the as it were, the chariot racing, and we're travelling to the finish line. We're pressing toward the mark. I have to ask you this morning, are you in the chariot? Are you saved? Are you standing on Christ? Are you tied and gripped to the Holy Ghost and to the Lord? And part of that vessel that's aiming to glory? Are you in Christ? We know whenever Paul got into the chariot, he was in another race when he was heading on the Damascus road to Syria. He was in another race. He was on another horse. But the Lord knocked him off it. And the Lord dealt with him. The Lord worked in his heart. And he heard a voice. And the voice said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And then he said, I'm Jesus. And it dawned on Paul. It's true. He's the Son of God. And he got into the chariot of salvation. And he said, Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do? And he's in the race. And he's racing for Christ. He's on the chariot. And this is the kind of mentality that he has as he aims for the mark. And there are three things that I want to draw your attention to concerning his resolve and his determination. First of all, he refuses to be self-confident and complacent. He refuses to be arrogant, as if he's finished. Because he says there in verse 13, brethren, this is his mental state as he's in the chariot racing. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended. What does he mean when he says, I don't count myself to have got it already? I don't count myself to have obtained it. What does he mean? He means he hasn't got it in the bag yet. He means he hasn't got it in the bank yet. He means I haven't got the prize yet. I haven't obtained the prize yet. I haven't crossed the finish line yet. He says, I'm not in this chariot race thinking I've already got it. It's in the bag and it's a daddle. I don't think like that, he says. I can't. I dare not think like that. You know, there's some people who are very confident. They think they're sure of the prize. And they've done nothing to get it. And there's been no determination about it. No discipline. No concern. No energy. Hardly any faithfulness and consistency. And they think it's a daddle. They're in the chariot. They're saved. Yes, they may be saved. But there's a crown. They may be saved. But there's a reward. There's more. There's more than salvation. And so you have to continue. You have to be faithful. I don't know if you have prize giving Sunday here and the children get their prizes for attendance. Well, if a child comes the first day to Sunday school and says, I get the prize now. I don't have to come the rest of the days. There's another 30 or 40 Sundays, but I don't have to worry them. I've started. I've come to Sunday school once. I'll get the prize. That child will be disappointed. You don't get the prize for one Sunday. You get the prize for many Sundays. You get the prize for consistency. You get the prize for continuing. Continuing to the end. You get the prize for being faithful. That's what you get the prize for. That's what Paul's talking about. No, you have to be consistent. You have to be consistent. The well done, good and faithful servant. Here's a crown. The well done, good and faithful servant is not said to the bad servant. The well done is not said to the unfaithful servant. Yes, he may be saved by the skin of his teeth. Saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's dealt with all his sins. But the well done is something more than that. Remember the Lord Jesus said, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast. Let no man take your crown. You can lose your crown. There's a man can take it from you. Don't let him take it. Is there some man going to take your crown? Don't let anybody take your crown. Don't let anybody take your crown. No matter who they are or who they say they are. Don't lose your crown for somebody. For someone's offense. Or for someone's insult. Or because of the way someone treats you. Don't lose your crown. Hold fast. Keep holding to the reins. Hold fast that which thou hast. So don't be confident or cocky. and think you have the prize already in the bag and you can live whatever way you like. Oh, don't have to worry about Bible reading. Don't have to worry about prayer. I don't have to worry about the house of God. I don't have to worry about being consistent. Yes, you do. If you want the praise, you want the praise. So don't be arrogant and proud and think the Lord will reward you and give you the well done, whatever way you live and however you get on in the race. Don't think like that. We mustn't be complacent as Christians. We can't slacken off. We can't stop praying. We can't let our hands hang. We can't get discouraged and stop the race. We can't start loving the world. We can't start living in sin. No, you can't. You'll lose your crown. You'll not get the praise. And so there's this refusal to be complacent. I don't count myself to have it in the bag. I haven't apprehended. I'm not perfect yet. I'm not totally like Christ yet. I haven't grappled with sin unto blood yet. I have to keep fighting and keep at it. I have to continue to work out that salvation which he's worked in me. So that's the first thing then. And then the second thing is, he forgets those things that are behind. The charioteer has to do that. He says in verse 13, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. So there's something behind him. And what's his mental state in regard to all the things that are behind him? Forgetfulness. Forget them. They're behind my back now and they have to stay there. They're out of my thoughts and I can't look back. I forget those things that are behind. Because you know, if you don't forget those things that are behind, you know what you'll do? You'll look back. Or you'll stop and you'll dote on them. Or you'll think upon them. And all your mental faculties will go upon them and you'll be useless. You're not going forward. You're thinking upon the things that are behind. You've stopped. And Paul says in the chariot race, you can't do that. You remember Lot's wife? She looked back. She was on the road out of Sodom, but her heart was still there. And she was still doting on all the things that she had left behind. And she looked back where her heart was. And of course, when you look back, you pause. And she was engulfed and encrusted and became a pillar of salt, as we know. Remember Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You have to keep looking forward. Straight course. You can't look back. Forget the things that are behind. So, that's what Paul says. And you know, a fast-moving charioteer, he can't do that. You can't look back. Now, he might be tempted to. There's chariots flying all over the place. And he might be tempted to look back. But he can't. Because it means taking your eyes off the road. And in a chariot race, you know, a circuit, you can't do that. Because there are two big corners at each end of the circuit. And you have to be hitting those corners at the right angle, at the right speed. And you have to put every focus into that. You can't look back. Most of the accidents and the tragedies happened on the corners. And you just can't look back. You have to put everything into getting around those corners. The two large turns at each end of the circuit. They were the most dangerous parts of the race. And you just had to focus on that. Whenever a chariot overturned, it was called a shipwreck. A shipwreck. Remember how Paul said, holding faith and a good conscience. You're holding reins, you see. You can't turn around because those reins are going to get pulled every shape if you turn around. Holding faith and a good conscience, concerning which some have put away, concerning faith some have put away, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander. They made shipwreck. They put something away. They put away faith. They put away the importance of a good conscience. They put away sincerity and earnestness. Do you remember Demas? He says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present evil world. He looked back. He looked back to the world. And he's out of the race. No praise now. So the charioteer, he can't look back because he'll upset the balance of the vehicle. He just can't do it. He can't turn around for anything. He may see his friend in another chariot and he crashes. He may be tempted to turn around and look back, but he can't. If someone gets out of the race, you can't look back. You have to continue. People will forsake you. People forsook Paul. He wanted to look back, I'm sure. But he has to go on. Others can make shipwreck, but he has to go on and he can't look back. Don't look back for anybody. Don't let anybody discourage you. Don't let any dropouts knock the heart out of you. Because in God's work there'll be plenty of dropouts. But don't let them knock the heart out of you. Don't look back. Don't look back. Stop for nothing. Even past mistakes. Past mistakes. Get them under the blood. But you can't dote on them. You can't stop the race. You know, you go over a rocky bump in the race. So say, I took that wrong. I need to go back and take it right. It doesn't work like that. You learn from your mistakes. You seek the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ for your mistakes. You try to remedy them as much as possible without it affecting you in the race. But you can't sit and dote and stop and look back. Forward. Forward. Don't let your past sins discourage you, child of God. The devil will get you to stop and get out of your chariot and sit and dote about them and think, don't do that. Rest in the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ and get on and go forward. There's no point brooding over our failures. We must learn from them and go on. And so you have to keep racing. And not only your failures, but there's people who dote on their successes. Because they've had a few successes, they think they can dote and, oh, you know, I've done well now. That's great. You can't dote on your successes either. Everything behind you. Don't dote on your sins and don't brood over your failures, but don't do it with your successes either. Forgetting the things that are behind. So forget, child of God. Don't stop your racing for what you can't change. Just serve Christ humbly, faithfully. So don't stop. And so he refuses to look back. He refuses to look back. And the third thing in his mental state as he aims, he says, forgetting those things which are behind, verse 13, and reaching forth. The things which are before, that's important. Not the things behind. The things which are before, reaching forth. Keeping my eye on them. Reaching forth. And then he adds another verb. I press. I press. It's as if he's all part of this vehicle. Everything depends on him. This determination, this earnestness, this sincerity. So the third thing is, he just keeps going forward. Forward. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Forward. Forward still. It is Jehovah's will. That's what it is. So you have to, that's all you can do in the speed and the excitement of a fast-moving chariot race. You have to appreciate the mental state of that charioteer. He is only interested in one thing. His team members in other chariots aren't going to discourage him. Whatever the opposition will do, it's not going to get him out of the... He is just determined to continue on pressing forward for the things that are before. And that takes discipline. That takes determination. Maybe takes guts and courage as well. It means a refusal to listen to other things and other people. And just looking forward, looking to the things that are before. So it takes a proper mental disciplined state of mind. And Paul has that. He has that. And brethren and sisters, that's how we need to follow Christ. With that one-mindedness. With that determination. Praying without ceasing. Reaching forth. Continually studying the Word. Continuing at the meetings. Continuing under the means of grace, week in, week out, that consistency, that determination to do what's right. Continuing on, pressing forward. Is that the way we're following the Lord? Isn't that the way he wanted us to follow him when he said, follow me? Was that the earnestness with which he desired that we would go in his train? Remember how the apostle to the Hebrews used this kind of imagery too of the circuit and of the race? He was thinking of the stadium and of the spectators, and he says, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And I don't think he had in mind the living witnesses, although that is true, the Church of Jesus Christ living and the saints are looking on upon us and edging us on and encouraging us on. But the great cloud of witnesses are those who've gone before. He's writing in Hebrews chapter 12. He's referring to those in Hebrews 11. The ones who've gone before. The ones who have crossed the finish line. The ones who are waiting in glory for us to enter in. The cloud of witnesses that are compassing about the pearly gates. He says, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Moses and Abraham and Gideon and Samson, that great cloud of witnesses who have crossed the line and now we're waiting with expectancy for our abundant entrance into glory. And the apostle, thinking of that, compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, what does he say? He says, let us lay aside every weight. You have to get the weight out of the chariot. You can't race in a chariot with a hundredweight of spuds, as it were, sitting there beside you. Every weight has to go. Everything that holds you back, everything that slows you down, It has to go. You have to kick it out. You have to kick it off. Lay aside every weight. And the sin that drags us down, the sin that easily besets us, the sin that derails us and gets us off course, he says, we have to lay it aside. I have to lay it aside. I have to be determined. And then we have to run with patience. Patience. That's a word. Because it's a long race. It's a long haul. If you're following Christ, you're in for the long haul. And we have to run with patience. The race that is set before us. There's that expression again. Before us. Before them. Before us. We have to run with patience the race that is set before us. Not behind us. It's before us. Looking on to Jesus. He's at the finish line. Looking on to Jesus. And you know something? He's the greatest racer of all. He's the champion racer. And the apostle brings that, looking on to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of faith. He's a role model. He's a great pilgrim who finished the course best of all and greatest of all. And how did he finish the course? Who for the joy that was set before him. There again that before. How did he finish the course? He had something before him. Something he kept looking to. Something he kept aiming at. Who for the joy that was before him endured the cross. Despised the shame. He despised it. Didn't get him off the chariot. Didn't derail him. He despised it. But it didn't derail him. He went on. And that's what we have to do, brothers and sisters. We have to go on. Despising the shame. Enduring the cross. We have to keep on at it. And he sat down. He's finished. He's at the right hand of the throne of God. The greatest praise of all. The glory of the Father given to him. He has the greatest praise of all. And brethren and sisters, what I'm saying is there's a praise for you and me. If I keep at it. If we're consistent, if we're diligent, if we lay aside these things, if we be earnest, no matter who drops out of the race, no matter who leaves us, no matter what stones and obstacles that kick in our way, we'll go on. We'll go on. Why do we go on? Looking on to Jesus. That's why. So keep your eyes on him. On Jesus Christ. No man. Just Jesus Christ.